Welcome back to Beholder to No One, a D&D and TTRPG podcast. Today is a unique day because it has officially been 1 year since I started releasing consecutive episodes. So, woo, let's celebrate. And we're going to celebrate with an idea from Matt Walsh Animations. That was the interviewer gets interviewed. And my lovely husband, who plays Seuss in Behold Clearlight, is going to be interviewing me today.
Hello.
So this is going to be interesting. That's for damn sure.
One way to put it.
The fun thing is, this is probably going to be the first time you actually get to see the way we normally interact.
Hopefully. Might be really bad.
And hopefully we don't overtalk each other because we are on one.
We're going to totally overtalk each other.
We're on
one mic.
I will stop you.
Starting this off good.
Okay, on that note, let's get on with the questions, I guess?
Sure. Feels like there should be a segue in there somewhere.
What kind of segue?
I don't know. Segue. I barely know what a segue is, but there should probably be one. That's a segue. Let's go. Okay. So, Return Snyder asks, outside of D&D, what has been your favorite hashtag TTRPG to play up until now and why? Hashtag TTRPG family.
You don't have to read the hashtags.
Wise.
Hi, Adam. My favorite TTRPG is probably Shadowrun. And I've played the 5th edition version of Shadowrun, but I'm not super great at how to play by those specific rules because I learned on a D&D 5th edition D20-like system, which was a lot of fun. But because I was able to play in a system that I recognize with D&D 5th edition, I was able to fall in love with the lore and the story without having to think too hard about how many D6s I'm about to roll. Though I have tried once or twice with the D6 method, and it seems like a lot of fun, and I want to try it again one day. I have too many games now, so I don't think that's going to happen, but one day.
Also, fun fact. I pretty much know the answer to all of these questions because I've heard her tell at least 100 people this exact same stories.
He's salty.
I am super salty.
He temporarily moved his desk out of the office so he wouldn't have to listen to me talk anymore. And then he came back. He's a glutton for punishment.
Clearly. So your husband asks.
Oh shit. Which one?
The other one.
Okay. Cool.
What inspires you?
Is there a specific thing or just in general?
I don't know. Pick your favorite thing and what inspires you to do that favorite thing.
On a bad day, distraction inspires me. The ability to get out of my head and play another person for a little bit and not have to worry about real life and bills and drama and...
Is that why you play D&D so much?
Yes.
Okay.
But... if we're talking about inspiration with creating characters or creating my worlds, it's honestly, lately it's just been as I'm reading, I see something in the notes and I'm like, oh shit, that'd be cool. And then it connects somewhere in my brain of chaoticness. And then somehow we end up in the astral plane.
Cool.
I think everything ends up in the astral plane.
Not everything. What about a watermelon elemental? Gamer Mom Luna asks from Discord, can you drink a water elemental?
Maybe if you're strong enough, but they'll probably kill you by like expanding inside of you.
Guess a better question is it worth it to try?
No, it's definitely not worth it to try.
It might be.
No. Now, fire elemental, definitely not. Earth elemental be a little difficult as well. You might suffocate. Air elemental, you'll definitely suffocate because they will literally suck all the air out of you.
Side question back to the other, not even a question, but to the last question before that question.
I'm not following. Continue.
What inspires me is alcohol.
Yes.
Yes.
Keith is very quiet. There's a reason why Seuss doesn't talk a lot.
There's another reason why I put off this interview for like a week. And I want to put it off for another week still, even in the middle of it.
But when he has a drink or two, he gets very chatty.
At least one, because that's all it takes.
Yeah, he's a lightweight. with his basic IPA.
Don't judge.
Judgment. All the judgment.
Okay, so serious question now.
I don't believe you.
What do you hate the most about podcasting?
Not knowing why your numbers don't do well.
Oh, like if you were super addicted to looking at your download numbers and wondering why they're four lower than they were the last day?
It's more than just four lower. Yes, but it's like, so I've been better at looking. I don't look every day now. I do go look every couple of days and I'll update my spreadsheet that I have to track. But this month, for example, or June, I have a third of the downloads that I had the month before. I have no idea why. I put the same amount of content out. I interact with the same amount of people. I put the same amount of tweets. Like, I wish there was a way to understand and comprehend what works and what doesn't. And because with podcasting, at least with Podbean specifically, you can't tell where it's coming from. It's just Google Chrome in general. It makes it really difficult to determine what's working and what isn't. So I think that's my least favorite bit. I'm sure once I get more popular, my least favorite bit will be the negativity of being popular, because there is some mad hate on...
Some people just hate for the fun of it.
Yeah, like, I don't ever think I'll get as big as, like, Critical Role Standards or The Adventure Zone or people like that, but there's people who just hate to hate.
Hate, hate, hate.
So I'm not looking forward to my first hater, I guess, but we'll see.
I mean, I kind of hate it sometimes. I guess technically I'm your first hater, because...
You're not a hater.
That's bullshit.
Not for me. Mm. If you were a hater, you'd still be in the bedroom with your desk in there instead of in here. You came back in here. That's on you.
Whatever. Crown Goblets and Gaze asks on Twitter, what is your...
It's just Goblets and Gaze, not Crown.
It's on my list, okay? It's Crown.
Okay.
Oh, no, that was the emoji.
Yes.
The Crown emoji, Goblets and Gaze asks, what is your ideal campaign setting? Like your absolute favorite world to play in? That's not Shadowrun, because we already know that.
City building, hands down, 100%. I love the concept of starting off with nothing and slowly building something massive up to see how large it can get. There are a few games that I want to try, and we're doing a city building game soon to try one of them. But like Pathfinder Ultimate Campaign has one, but theirs is more focused on using money. I just want like your standard NPC comes in, builds a town, slowly gets big enough to start having problems, has to hire adventurers, all that jazz. It's kind of like RimWorld on Naked Brutality mode.
This next time you do play one, don't send them to the astral plane, because they'll fuck all that off.
Yeah, I know. I think the problem with the one that we are playing is I think I was the only one that was really enjoying the city building aspect of it.
Honestly, I my character didn't even interact with building anything or making items or harvesting. You just wanted to eat things.
So I know that I enjoyed the city building aspect of it, but I want everybody to enjoy the game. So I figured I would change it to a more adventure-based.
I think it takes a certain kind of person to get into that.
You gotta like spreadsheets.
Pretty much. That's basically it. I like spreadsheets. And like just like crafting and games in general.
Yeah.
It's basically the same thing.
Honestly, like one day I just really want to play with a bunch of people a full-blown kingdom game where we just slowly build our own empires, whether together or against each other.
So Anonymous asks, if you could choose between playing D&D for the rest of your life or your husband, which would you choose and why is it your husband?
Well, I choose D&D because my husband is the anonymous person.
No, it's not. It's anonymous. Mm-hmm. It says right here.
Mm-hmm.
And why?
Why would I choose D&D?
Yeah, why?
Because I can have pretend husbands in D&D.
Sad now.
Pretend wives.
Anonymous is sad now.
I thought you weren't anonymous.
I'm not. I'm just sad for anonymous.
Okay.
Empathy.
If I absolutely had to get rid of D&D, I would pick you over D&D. But I would be a very grumpy bitch all the time. So don't make me choose.
I think you need more D&D. Because some of that's seeping over.
It's gotten better since I left work.
Anyways, so Mike from Tales of Aspirin asks, oh, what is your favorite tidbit or story you learned from a guest you had on the show?
My favorite time saver trick I've learned, but not necessarily a story, was using macros to help make editing go faster, because that's a fucking lifesaver.
Especially now that you need it a lot.
Well, yeah. In Audition, the ripple deletes control shift backspace, but if I put it on my 2 on my mouse button, I just hit 2 instead, and it just, that little bit of time shaves off and more and more and more.
Yeah,
story-wise, I've heard a lot of stories. I think the most important one that hit me the hardest were the stories that were about racism and non-colonialism and LGBT and mental health. The stories that like had a meaning behind them, where people opened up and I opened up. So some of those had a lot of meaning, and just hearing that other people have to deal with things, or people have to deal with things that I don't have to deal with, and hearing it from their perspective. I think those were my most prized stories, because I got to learn something in the process and hopefully teach somebody else something in the process.
Your husband asks, what would you do if you were a biscuit?
What would I do if I was a biscuit?
Yes.
I'd probably die because somebody'd eat me.
Good answer. Okay, on to the next one. So Ryan asks, what is the coolest RPG encounter you were part of?
I've probably said the story.
I'm sure I've heard it.
There's so many good ones.
The only ones I can think of right now are the ones that were involving Ryan, which is, I'm sure you've been in a lot more.
There are a lot of good RPG stories in Clear Lights, but highly recommend you go listen to that.
I think it means like encounter, like battles.
I know. So there's tons of battles in Clear Light. Go listen to those. I think my favorite battle, I think it was the Shadowrun one, where Pixel had to hack into the fire suppression system and accidentally killed innocent people in the process. And it's my favorite because, one, there was a sense of suspense because somebody had died. There was a potential that I was going to die, that other players were going to die. And I, as a player, didn't think about the consequences, which meant the character hadn't thought about the consequences. They just reacted. And it wasn't until after the fact that she realized what she had done. And it had stopped the shooting, but at what cost? So it was kind of like a wake-up call for her that, hey, there's other people here.
You gotta watch out for them civvies. And all the other people that you're about to kill when you do things.
And if not that one,
I think of one that you might like that you might not think of is Tiamat.
Oh, yeah.
Nikki Matt. Or Tia Nikki.
For my birthday, I think it was my 30th or 31st birthday, we did a D&D party where I invited a bunch of friends over to dress up like their characters. And I made stew, and we had it in Panera Bread bowls. We had a charcuterie board. It's super fancy. And everybody made level 20 characters.
They're all overpowered as fuck.
All
because I gave them too much stuff.
Keith DM'd it. And the trick was, at some point, someone would knock into my character, and my character would get mad and then turn into Tiamat and try to kill all of my friends.
Super fun.
It was. I managed to...
You destroyed Waterdeep.
I destroyed a building. I killed one person. I'm sad that it wasn't more.
Yeah.
That one person was very salty about it.
Okay, so next Twitter question is, what anxieties did or do you have around your podcast, and how do you cope with them?
Oh, well, that's like an hour conversation right there.
Good, cool. My job's over. Go back to getting drunk.
When I first started, I didn't think I had anything interesting to say and that nobody would want to listen. That was my biggest anxiety. I figured that...
Never stopped you before.
It has, actually. But I figured it would end up the same way that everything else did, and it almost did end up like everything else. I tend to start hobbies and then give up on them. there are so many unfinished hobbies in this household. It's not even funny how many crafting things I've done as I look at my...
There's at least like five on the bookshelf right next to us.
Yeah. From painting to crocheting to sewing to cross stitching to clay making, bookbinding. Now I have resin stuff to make resin dye.
That we've had for...
I've had it for a day.
We've technically had it for like a month.
No, I have had it for a day. I just got it yesterday. It wasn't at my house. Not my fault.
Technically, it's still not even in the house. So.
No, it's in the... We should probably get that. Anyway, so at first it was just, is it interesting enough and am I charismatic enough to do a podcast? Because I'm extremely introverted in real life. I love to talk to people. I love to have conversations online. I love to constantly be around virtual people. But once you're face to face, I like my small little niche of people and I'm good with that. Now, my anxieties, I'm not as anxious about getting on the recording. I'm anxious about asking bigger people to be on the show. I'm anxious about reaching out to get sponsors. I'm anxious about what the next steps are and things like that. So when I reached out to Satine Phoenix, the only reason why I did was because my friend had reached out first and got a yes. And then I hyped myself up for 5 minutes and then sent it to her and then panicked for the next 3 hours until I got a response.
And then the next couple of weeks until the actual episode.
And then I panicked for the next couple of weeks that I was going to get ghosted, because that was what happened the first time someone who was popular agreed to be on my show. So I think it's mostly that. I also kind of have some worries about accidentally having somebody on the show that has... bullshittery, I guess, because there are some times where you are showing your support for somebody and you don't realize that they have, like, basically they're racist or they're assholes.
Yeah, you don't know who they really are until you start the interview, and then it's like, oh shit, you're a douchebag.
Right. So I do worry that one day that might happen. I try to talk to the person a little bit before I before I have them on the show now.
Roleplay. Not anxious, Nikki.
Yes. And I have learned my lesson on listening to people's episodes before you agree to have them on your show or to be on their show, because sometimes there could be something problematic on their show. I was almost a guest on a show that had an accidental transphobic comment on it, and they fixed it once it was pointed out to them. But if it wasn't accidental, I would have known it was there because I didn't listen to their show beforehand.
I guess like podcasting kind of helps with that too, because you don't have to, you can edit stuff like that out, or you just don't even have to technically publish the episode if it ends up being like a bad one.
If it's my episode, yes.
Yeah, if it's your episode, obviously. You can just be like, no, I didn't like it. You're not publishing it. No.
Right.
Stop it.
I don't think, I have not published an episode. Everything I've recorded, I've published. I may have removed a comment here or there, but I haven't had any bad guests on the show.
So, next question from me. Your super awesome husband asks, and probably does a bunch of other stuff. If copyright wasn't an issue and you could pick any song for your intro, what would it be? And you can't pick Bohemian Rhapsody.
Damn it.
Or The Sound of Silence.
Why are you picking the only songs I know?
Because those are the only songs you listen to.
I honestly don't know. I might pick a classical song, honestly, if I were going to pick something. I don't like putting songs that have words in them in the podcast.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'd imagine you put something like the spacey music that you like.
Jupiter by Gustav Holst.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
Because that would fit some of the podcast pretty well.
Yeah, I would...
It'd be
could
really
see
good background
that.
Music, too.
Yeah, I could see the entire Gustav Holst Planet of the Sweets being one that I could have on the show. I honestly might be able to have it on the show. I don't know. It hasn't come up.
It's been a long time. I don't know what the, like, cause I know it's like video games and stuff. Like, there's like a good, like, 20 or 30 years, but I don't know. I think for music, I think it's much, much longer. But moving on to the next question, while we're in the middle of this question, how many times do you Google things in the middle of the podcast?
A lot.
as she Googles things.
Oh, he's public domain. His compositions are public domain.
I have no idea what that means.
It means you can get his music.
So you can get the music sheets.
You can get the music sheets to play it, but you can't
that
get
makes
the
sense.
Song to play.
That makes sense.
Honestly, I got annoyed at being like, oh, I don't know. And then not having an answer, because then I'm like, I want an answer, so I'm going to Google it, and then I answer it.
So basically, you're impatient.
No, I'm a researcher who is innovative.
Really wants to know the answer immediately.
And needs to know the answer so she doesn't leave her guests hanging.
Okay. I guess that's acceptable.
But a lot. I Google a lot during my D&D games, too.
Yeah.
That I'm running.
Yeah, that's pretty much how I live my life. Don't know it? Google it. Find out. What was the weirdest thing you ever Googled while doing the podcast?
I haven't Googled anything bad while podcasting.
Okay. Well, boring answer then.
Honestly, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you don't remember half the shit you Google.
I mean, I remember Googling the AD&D question if Advanced Dungeons & Dragons was first or second edition, because I wasn't sure.
Was it technically second? Because it was like the second one that came out.
You're going to make me Google it again because I
am going to make you Google it again. I think it was technically second edition. I'm pretty sure. Or it came out like in between second and third.
No, it's an edition. It's second edition. I think it was both, actually.
Might just be a different name for it. Oh, it was Advanced Dungeons & Dragons second edition.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. No, there was Advanced... There was original D&D, and then there was Advanced Dungeons & Dragons, and then Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 2nd Edition.
So, first and second.
So they're just being fucking confusing because I guess...
That's what they do.
Somebody didn't like the marketing portion of it.
They did 3.5. They went 3.5. So
they're doing like movie titles where they don't care about number sequences.
Look at Xbox.
That's going to the extreme.
PlayStation does it normally, but...
PlayStation is, like, the only normal one. Everybody else is like,
1, 2, we're going to change five. It.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, X, 2, J. Who the fuck knows? Alrighty, next question. I believe this is from Twitter. Riley from 4Nerds@Me asks, when did you get the idea for your show, and how far in D&D did you realize you wanted to make more content like the actual play in the one-shots? And those are technically like two different, completely different questions, but when did you get the idea for your show?
Honestly, I think a couple weeks before I started. And
it's
then,
on a spur of the moment, things like, oh, I'm bored. Let's start a podcast.
Well, I think I was talking to Bill about it, and it was like, I kind of want to start a podcast. He's like, start a podcast. I'm like, but what if? And he's like, just start the fucking podcast. I'm pretty sure approximately how the conversation went. I don't remember verbatim because my memory sucks, but that sounds like... about what it would be like. So I decided to record an episode, and I asked people on a Dungeons and Dragons Facebook group if anybody wanted to be on the show. I had way too many people on the first episode. Learned the hard way about that. Also, vet your people before you have them on your show. Learn that the hard way too. So the first episode was officially released on my birthday in 2019, December 30th. What was the second question? Part of the question?
Second part was, how far in D&D did you realize you wanted to, I guess more, how far into the podcast did you realize you wanted to be, have more content, like actual plays and one shot?
So I wanted to have an actual play since the very beginning, and originally I was going to have my Sunday game be the actual play, and was in discussion with the DM at the time about it, who was agreeing, but we were running into problems with the players who kept missing, and then we had a huge falling out and it blew up, and I'm just like, I'm leaving the game, and then he kicked me out of the server, so that didn't happen.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah, but so that was my original idea, and I've always wanted to do it. I just didn't know who would be interested, and I didn't know enough people, and eventually I convinced my closest friends to do it, so you, Ashley, and Greg, and we were going to be doing a game with Ryan anyway, but it was supposed to be like a game on like Tuesdays or something, Tuesdays or Wednesdays. So we asked if he'd be interested in being in the podcast instead, and we were debating on who was going to DM, and then Ryan offered the idea for Clear Light. So then Ryan became the DM. As for the one-shots, literally, I wanted to play more not D&D games. And originally my thought process was going to be, oh, these are should be for a Patreon and you can get these extra shows, but I didn't want to hide the indie TTRPG games behind a paywall. So I was just like, at the time Greg was on the show too, I was like, hey Greg, I'm starting a new show. Okay, thanks, bye. And then started the TTRPG one shots with the Wizarding Magic School of Mysteries.
Cool.
And I've had a lot of fun, played a lot of fun games.
So I hear that your husband asks, would you push the button? I think you know what button I'm talking about.
I don't know what button you're talking about.
It's the button. If you push the button, you get whatever you wanted. Or $1 million, let's say.
But somebody dies.
Somebody dies. Somebody random. Would you do it?
No.
You wouldn't do it? No, I'd do it in a heartbeat. It's $1 million.
My anxiety would have me freaking out for the eternity of who I killed.
That's fair. Let's see. Next question.
I'm an evil DM. I don't like hurting people in real life.
I think that's it from the Twitter questions. There's a couple more on Discord, though. So Nicola asks, if you were a vegetable, which one would you be and why?
Brussels sprouts.
Why?
Because they're delicious and also gassy.
Are you sure you're not already a Brussels sprout?
I don't know. I don't know what vegetable I'd be.
You're also covered in butter half the time. Or cheese. Are you covered in cheese?
No, the best way to cook them is with bacon. And then you cook them in the bacon fat. So they're very unhealthy, but they're delicious. Yeah. Or asparagus. Asparagus is also good. I'm just telling you what my favorite vegetable is. I'm not... That's about it.
Okay, let's see. What else does your husband have to ask you? What advice would you give to new podcasters?
Keep going? It's going to feel weird at first. And I think this applies to YouTube, podcasting, streaming, anything. It's going to be weird at first, but just keep doing it. Try to do some test recordings before you release anything to see what your thing is. And it's okay to like switch it up. Also, make sure you know your co-host if you have a co-host before you have them on your show. And make sure that you're everything aligns in contracts.
Contracts?
Contracts.
Oh, contracts. Right.
Contracts, contracts, contracts. Money.
If money is involved.
Money may not be involved in the beginning, but you will spend money sometimes. So if money is involved in any form of way, to buy new microphones, to buy new headsets, to buy TTRPGs, to pay for Podbean, to pay for Adobe Audition, like to pay for all the things that you're getting, then there needs to be an agreement between you and if you have multiple people on your show that people will help. And if they can't help financially, help with the workload. The other thing I will say, if you have multiple people, make sure that they're willing to help you with the workload. Do not take it all on by yourself if you can avoid it. It is exhausting to be the host, producer, editor, social media marketer, and everything in between. So it's very nice when somebody's willing to step up and offer their help, whether financially or physically, for the workload. Now, if you're working by yourself, just don't overdo it. Make sure that you slowly build up and make sure that you can still handle that. Like, I'm at a point where I know I cannot take on any more games without losing a game, but I've purposely also have set it up so that I can alternate between two games on Saturdays, so I can still play two games, but I only have one game a week, and then the same thing on Sundays. So I still, that's four games, but I only play one game a week, so then I'm not overwhelmed with, oh, I have 18 games to play this week. So just don't commit yourself to like more than what you can do.
Don't bite off more than you can chew.
Yeah. Also, Google Calendars will save your fucking life.
Or just any sort of tracking at all.
Or any tracking, but just make sure you have it so you stick to your deadline and consistently post and keep up with it. Also, Twitter and social media is your friend. Go make
most
friends.
Of the time.
Go make friends in the niche that you're in. get to know people. That is what helped make Beholder to No One take off, is getting to know the pod squad, getting to know my friends. It's nice to have people who can answer questions for you, who can you can vent to, who you can be there for, even for 30 seconds on a 30-second birthday.
Yep. So the next question is, what is an event listener and when would you use one?
What is an event listener?
So that's a question for me. Never mind.
What? I don't understand the joke.
It's a programming question.
Oh.
I just figured I'd add it in there.
Why?
Because, anyways, next question.
Okay.
Who is your dream guest?
I really wanted Satine Phoenix on, and I got that, which was amazing.
What is the one that you want on your show, but you know you probably wouldn't get anytime soon?
Or ever.
Yeah, like...
Honestly, it's kind of a toss-up. I think I would like to pick Liam O'Brien's Mind or Taliesin Jaffe. Like, Matt Mercer, sure. Matt Mercer is fantastic, but he's also, like...
I feel like we already know everything about him.
Right. And I would love to talk to him, but he's been on 1,000 things.
Yeah.
I would love to talk to Brennan Lee Mulligan because I think he's a fantastic DM. I think he has wonderful storytelling abilities, as everybody knows, that are just absurdly out there and hilariously raunchy, but still deep as fuck. And I don't know how you balance all that, but he did multiple times. I would probably like to have the Adventure Zone cast, the McElroys, on, just because I have questions. I would love to, like, learn from some of them. I know that a lot of them have done episodes or YouTubes or panels that I've watched or seen, and a lot of it's just, like, luck-based and trying and keeping and just keep going, but I think that would just all be really, really fun. Those are obviously the stereotypical responses.
Yeah, everybody wants them on their podcast.
I think other than that, Gabe is super nice online. I would love to have him on the show. Michael Sinclair is another very nice person that I would love to have on the show. Christina seems like a lovely person as well.
I have no idea who any of these people are.
I know. The people who are in the TTRPG community, they though do. And probably... be Dave Walters, because I absolutely love him in LA by Night, and then last, Alexander Ward, also from LA by Night, just because he's a phenomenal Nosferatu and I want some tricks to play mine in the future. You said one person, but there's not just one that I can pick from. I want almost everybody on the show.
Fair. On a scale of 1 to 100, how many words do you know?
More than 100.
I broke the scale. If you could be any monster in D&D, which would it be?
Bet you think I'm going to say Beholder.
Either a Beholder or a dragon is like the go-to thing. So keep the Sierra below 10.
I would be... what are those things called? Hold on.
Another Google. Any ideas what it looked like or what?
It's
what it did.
I know what it did.
What did it do?
I'm just trying to remember the fucking name. It's like a super low CR, and when you... it has like 1 HP.
Like the pollen?
Yeah. I don't remember what it was called. It has 1 HP, and then when you hit it and kill it, it explodes, and you have to make a con save, or you... will die in X amount of hours.
Yeah, these things are horrible.
I think that would be the most interesting one to play.
You just kind of sit there, though. You can't move. You just float.
I know, but I would...
Or no, I think they can move. I'm pretty sure.
If I was being evil, that would be my choice. But I think my second choice would be a doppelganger.
Well, that's a cheating, because then you could be anything you wanted.
Yep.
That's not fair.
Yep.
Loser.
And I wouldn't fight anything. I'd just go around pretending to be people, causing mischief and stealing shit.
Easy way out.
Mm-hmm. I didn't pick dragon or boulder.
Because you weren't allowed to.
You didn't say I wasn't allowed to.
And I said CR 10 or below.
There are some dragons under CR 10.
Besides the point. CR 5 or CR 1 quarters. what else do we have here? If you could have a billboard advertising your podcast, what would it say?
First off, I wouldn't do a billboard just because I don't think it's worth the money.
Like, if you could have a billboard in Times Square and it was paid for by somebody else, what would it say?
Do you like D&D? Come listen to me. I don't know.
That is the most boring billboard ever.
I don't know. I'm not an advertiser. I'd probably be like, do you like D&D? Do you like one-shots? Do you like actual plays? But boy, do I have the show for you, because I got all three.
That's too many words for a billboard, so it cuts off there.
Yeah, well, that's all I got.
Okay.
Or just say, Beholder to No One, where all your TTRPG needs can be filled.
Beholder to No One, except you. Get it? Because it says no one except you. That's the other person.
Hmm.
So clever.
So clever.
So clever.
That's why I married you.
Is that why? Hmm. Yeah. What would your title be if it wasn't Beholder to No One? And it didn't involve a beholder or dragon in any way. Now, I guess it'd probably be something dragon related, wouldn't it?
If it wasn't Beholder to No One, my prior title was Dragon Queen's Lair.
Yeah.
For my YouTube channel.
And your...
And my Twitch.
Facebook group. You're the Dragon Queen.
Yeah, my nickname has been the Dragon Queen for the last, like, 7 years. But... then it became associated to Daenerys from Game of Thrones. And people were like, oh, you like Game of Thrones? And I'm like, no, I've never seen it. I know what happened. My husband told me everything, but...
He did? Yeah. He spoiled everything for you.
I told you to. it was the Dragon's Rocket Ship as the Facebook group, and that was the publishing company name, and... then the Dragon Queen was my handle, still my handle on like Discord and stuff. And then, so I probably would have stuck with Dragon's Queen Lair, but I kind of wanted something that was more unique and interesting.
Cool.
And I eventually stopped going by the Dragon Queen. The first couple of episodes, I would say, this is Nikki, aka the Dragon Queen. And I eventually just stopped saying
that. Maybe on your next podcast, you'll be the Dragon Queen.
No.
No? Maybe become the Beholder Queen?
No, I don't think I need to be royalty anymore.
You don't need to be royalty anymore? You had your fair share of royalty.
I've had my fair share of royalty. I'm tired of being royal.
And you're just going to be like a street urchin? Nikki the bum?
No.
Nikki the murder hobo?
Sometimes.
If you were transported to a D&D world, what class would you be?
Bard of Creation.
Bard of Creation, but you don't know how to sing.
Bard of Creation doesn't sing.
I don't know, they make shit, don't they?
Yep. They craft things.
Make shit. So I said,
yep, they make things.
What would you make?
I can make whatever I want. I think it's 100 gold value times your level.
Do you think you'd be like a adventurer person, or just somebody just like hangs out in the bar and talks to people?
I wouldn't adventure. I wouldn't adventure for shit. If it was me, like Mimi, I wouldn't go out.
But you could see real dragons and beholders.
Yeah, and die.
But dragons and beholders.
And die.
And loot.
I'll wait for an adventurer to kill it and bring it back.
What if it's your only way to get back? That's a stupid question.
I'll befriend the dragon.
I don't think anybody would want to come back.
Befriend the dragon.
You want to seduce the dragon?
Mm-mm.
What if it was a sexy dragon?
No, just befriend it. See if it likes books.
What if it tries to seduce you?
I'm not into dragons, I guess. I don't know. Can it transform into a human? Is it hot as a human, I guess? I don't know.
Mm. It could be. You have to find out.
These are too many questions.
Doesn't show it to just anybody.
I would just befriend the dragon.
Okay.
Not be that bard that seduces every dragon.
What about your new shows?
The Vampire the Masquerade one or the sci-fi one?
All of them. Tell me 15 minutes worth of your new shows so I can end this episode.
So Dice Before Dawn is going to have a show called Phoenix by Night, DM'd by Alex, who's at AlexTheDM89 on Twitter. We will have Dan from The Last Tapestry, Atticus from The Last Tapestry, Darby from Chaotic Creations, and Milan, who is Mallard Man on Twitch. And for that particular show, we are going Camarilla.
What did you just say?
Camarilla.
Camarilla?
Yeah.
Okay.
In Vampire the Masquerade, you can either be in the Camarillas or the Anarchs. The Anarchs are the ones that are like,
anarchy.
Fuck your rules. We're going to do what we want anyway and like embrace technology. where the Camarilla are like, no, the rules are there for a reason. You must abide by them or else. But I'm excited to play. All of the character art is done. All the characters have been created. The world is built. We've had our session zero with our character relationships created and everything. And I'm hoping starting next month I can release character art to show. And if you want to see that, you can go at Dice Before Dawn on Twitter for that one. And that podcast will either continue Dice Before Dawn after the season is done or switch to a new game that is also darker in a sense. That's what that podcast is for. Cool. So like Zweihänder or Werewolf or long-term Delta Green games, stuff like that. The other show is Sound Control RPG, which is going to be playing Radio Signal. This is DM'd by Dan at The Last Tapestry. We will be doing Savage World sci-fi version. And I will be joined by Bianca from The Last Tapestry, Adverbia, and Fred, who do not have podcasts of their own. But I'm really excited also for those characters. They were a lot of fun to build, and it's going to be a less risky one. Not risky. That's not the right word. Not as dark. It's more focused on like family and helping.
Less edgy.
Yeah, less edgy. It's more cute and goofy and Firefly-esque, I guess, would be the best way to put it.
Whimsical.
Yes, whimsical. With a hint of horror. Just a hint. Just a little bit.
It's like a...
Not as much as Ryan's.
Okay.
But there's like a rivalry and a sassy robot. That's me playing a sassy robot.
You're a sassy robot.
But that show will be going on for one season. And then after that show is over, another sci-fi show will take its place. And Sound Control RPG will be purely for science fiction related shows and games. My hope is that they expand beyond just that into other things. But for now, I have no more capacity for things. So if anything else is built, then it is not for me to at least not be in.
Sounds good.
Or we are working towards getting the YouTube channel more active with a couple of shows with me and a couple of tabletop friends. We are in the midst of discussions, so if you didn't know we had a YouTube channel, I put the link down in the description below, so you should check it out and keep an eye out for some of the new things that will be coming. I will not be posting the podcast episodes on here. I may post the first one or two episodes of each new show and then link to the podcast from there. But everything that will be on the YouTube channel will be unique from the podcast.
Final question. If you were to end this episode, what would you say?
Well, first I'd say thank you for getting slightly tipsy and interviewing me.
You're welcome.
And actually volunteering and not being voluntold to do it.
Might as well get it out of the way. It's going to happen sooner or later. Now I get to finally say I was on your podcast and not part of a fucking game.
Yeah. Ooh. You get to be on it again.
Again?
Yeah, we're doing a clear light.
Ah, shit.
We will be doing a Clear Light discussion episode once Clear Light is wrapped up. But what I would say is thank you all for listening. If you want to chat with me more, you can find me on Twitter at Beholder to No One or Dice Before Dawn or Sound Control RPG. All of those links are down below. Mostly Beholder to No One though. Also, if you want to find my husband, he is at Keith_bits.
Good luck. He doesn't want to be found, so don't look for him.
He is not super active online, especially not in the D&D world. He mostly is working on programming and web design stuff while he's on there. But Other than that, if you would like to help support the show, please check out our Patreon. We have a couple of tiers. If there isn't a tier that you like and you just want to donate any type of money, that's fine. Or if you want me to build a tier, I am more than willing to do so. Also, if you want some editing services, please reach out. I am currently accepting clients for freelance audio editing for your podcast needs. That's all I got for you today. So this has been the interviewer. Is the interviewee, or interview the interviewer, I guess would be the right term.
One of those.
And great job, I guess, to me for 1 year.
Hooray. High five.
A continuous, never missing an episode. I missed one episode, but I made up
for it. Other than when other people cancel on you, but this won't count.
Well, I've only actually missed one episode, and it, like, I uploaded two the next week to make up for it. So, all right, guys, keep being awesome. Bye.